Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with us today because we got a new friend with us right now. Barbara Anise is with us. She is a thought leader on gender intelligence and inclusive leadership. She helps corporations understand how to navigate the differences between men and women, how they think differently, how they lead differently. She's the author of a number of books, including the one that I'm holding in my hand, which she co-authored with Michael Gurian, Leadership and the Sexes, Using Gender Science to Create Success in Business. Barbara, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book.
Thank you so much. I'm really pleased to have co-authored it.
My audience knows, Barbara, that I have done quite a few interviews over the years and do every year on the difference in men and women, how men and women think and how they behave differently with a number of different people. I don't think I've ever talked to anyone who had made, who considered it a science and had gotten into the science as much as you have. The differences between men and women are, part of it is, it seems to me, in your book points this out, part of it is physiological.
Yep.
Part of it, and of course, there is the environmental issue. There are the socio-environmental issues, but there also are hormonal issues,
yep,
aren't there? That make us different. So we've got all these things that make us different. Three big categories that make us different, and yet we still have to, if we're so different, how do we reconcile all that, and still get along?
Well, first of all, we have to understand the differences, and there's some fundamental brain-based differences between men and women in how we perceive things, how we problem-solve, how we communicate, and how we lead. So first, if we come to understand even just the area of communication as an example, it's really important. I just led a session last night, and, I started, asking, it was predominantly women executives, and I said, how many of you have ever asked men, what are you thinking? And of course, they
all have. They all raised their hand, didn't they?
Exactly. They all laughed, and then I didn't even have to answer.
But, right.
You heard this.
That was rhetorical.
Nothing, right? And actually, men can think about nothing. Men actually do distress very differently than women do, and often we misinterpret those things.
Now, and by the way, folks, Barbara and I agree on one thing, that it's completely appropriate and helpful to have a sense of humor about the differences, right, Barbara?
Actually, if you can't celebrate these differences, it'd be a very boring workplace.
Wouldn't this be a dull life without the differences and have a little fun? I mean, my wife and I have a great time teasing each other about how she is and about how I am, and
yes,
we, and there's the mutual respect you could cut with a knife, but we still have fun with that, and I think, but it is sometimes hard to do that in the workplace, isn't it?
Yes, because, everybody wants to or have to be politically correct, so it's difficult to really recognize that. But that's why science has made such a big difference, because now, we can't dispute this brain-based research,
right,
around how men and women approach things.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the physiological part. You talk about the differences in your book. You talk about the differences of the brains between men and women.
Yeah, so there are but brain architecture that's different in men and women. For example, the corpus callosum, which are the dendrites that interconnect the right and left hemisphere, is up to 24% larger in women. What does that mean? That means that when we perceive something as women, we might see more into the situation in terms of how it affects over here, over here, over here.
Mm-hmm.
And often in the workplace, because we're so focused on results, that gets either dismissed or misinterpreted or kind of, what...
Or maybe in the way. Maybe it gets in the way.
In the way, yeah, it gets in the way. And again, last night, as we were talking, there was one woman who was in technology, and she was saying, that's so true, I keep speaking about, I want to describe things more. I want to provide more detail.
Right,
I can see some of the guys roll their eyes.
Well, here's something I've been thinking about. This is not scientific because I'm not a scientist like you are, Barbara, but here's something I've come up with after all these years, and that is simply this. Men stipulate things among themselves and with whoever they're talking to, especially among themselves. We stipulate things, and women do stipulate almost nothing. And my point is, here's a simple example. If two men are walking down the street and they walk by a beautiful rose bush, they both look over at the beautiful rose bush. There's a good chance that both of them will think to themselves, "What a beautiful rose bush!" But they'll walk by, never saying one word to each other.
Yes.
Because they've stipulated among themselves that the rose bush has been judged beautiful. We don't have to talk about it.
Yes.
Two women would never do that. And that's the thing. It's not that men don't value the rose bush or whatever. It's just we believe the other person understands it. We don't have to talk about it.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And women tend to connect and bond through more verbal means versus actions, kind of what you're just describing, you know, kind of walking by
right.
a rose bush as an example without many words. It's a very common difference.
My wife and I work together, and she and I will have a conversation, and we'll get to the point where we'll solve the issue, and I'll walk away, and she'll say, "Why are you walking? I'm not through talking about it."
That's right.
But in my mind, we need to go to work. We've said what needs to be said.
Right. But, and the other thing is that women, you know, de-stress differently through venting and talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And men de-stress through, you know, okay, we're going to have the bottom line conversation and then we'll move on, right? Because men need more space. So there
right.
definitely is a difference there, yeah.
Well, and another thing you talk about in the book is that men are more, their brain is built more towards movement and action than
yeah.
women.
More spatial ability. You know, it's so interesting. I was talking to one of the banks in Wall Street. We're not going to go there, but that was who I was talking to. And she had just read the book, and she said, you know, I went down to the trading floor, and I spoke to the head trading guy, and I say, and he was throwing balls around, you know, on the trading floor, back
right.
and forth, these
right.
balls. And she said, I know why you are doing that. And he got nervous. He said, what do you mean? He said, I just read this book. You're doing that to de-stress.
That's right.
So, and he went, yeah, that is actually how I do it.
Well, see,
and
that's the reason why when men are exasperated, they're more likely to you know, to slam their fist into a door or something,
absolutely.
And women are more likely to cry, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just...
Men tend to explode, women tend to implode, yeah.
Exactly. We're going to talk about how the differences between the way men lead and the way women lead after these messages. Barbara Anis is our guest. The book is Leadership and the Sexes. It's outstanding. Has come and the land is dark. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. We're visiting with our new friend, soon to be not a new friend. She'll be not an old friend either, but a longtime friend soon, because we're going to get her back on the show. She has a lot to talk to us about. She is the co-author, along with Michael Gurian, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, of Leadership and the Sexes. And Barbara, give us the website. Tell us how we can find your book.
Well, you can go to www.genderintelligence.com.
Genderintelligence.com.
Yep.
And how? And by the way, Michael's name is Gurian, ladies and gentlemen. Barbara's last name is spelled Annis, if you're Googling her. Barbara, let's talk about the difference in the way men lead and the way women lead. And of course, management is all part of this. One of the things that I've noticed, that I've observed in my long life, Barbara, is that men tend to look at a problem, look at a challenge as something that should be conquered and gotten rid of. Got to get it off our table. If it's a problem, let's fix it. Let's get it out of our sight so we don't have to manage it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Women, and they take great pride in that.
Yep.
Women seem to take great pride in learning how to manage a challenge, but not so much in getting rid of it. What do you think?
Well, there's a fundamental difference between men and women as leaders and managers. Men tend to be transactional. Women tend to be relational.
Right.
So what happens there is that you want to take it off the list. You know, like, let's just fix this, get it off the list.
Yeah.
And women managers often says, let's seek understanding before we come to solution.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that men have a greater propensity to solve it, and women have a greater propensity to understand it before solving it. That's why you see women more managing it through discussing it.
But eventually you run out of time to manage all these things. That's the reason you have to get rid of some of them.
Yes, yes. I mean,
my only point is this. If I could give women two things, I would give them more self-confidence and the inclination to solve problems, not manage them. If I could give men at least one thing, I would help them, you know, to understand that their ego gets in their way.
I think that's right. And the only thing that I would say about the women part, that there is a strength in understanding the problem to prevent it from ever occurring again. So sometimes men can get a little too short.
That's our ego.
Yeah.
That's the ego dismisses and gets rid of something maybe when we should have tried to live with it and understand it a little more. I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that propensity, and you know, and but that's how men arrive at achievement. It's, you know, let's get this list, let's
mm-hmm.
get tick it off and get rid of it. And also, there's many more connectors to the memory centers of female brains. So women tend to remember more.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem, women will bring in, oh, yeah, this has happened before, blah, blah, blah. You know, they'll see the pattern of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And often that can be very frustrating for men because men don't have those connections to their memory centers and emotional centers as women do.
Women are also better at detail than men.
Absolutely. Task-focused,
yeah.
Organizing work in a structured way. There are 62 studies, as I mentioned, around female managers, male managers, and definitely having a greater concern with the relationship with others and being very task-focused and organizing work is something that
in sales teams, the mm-hmm. best the bit in sales teams, the big closers are probably men, but the people who have done the best paperwork, the best customer relationship, are probably women.
Well, it's really interesting. We just in the book we talk about the $50 million mistake, and it's actually a professional firm who walked in and they were in front of a panel of judges and the two men, two women partners, and the women read something in the presentation that there was something off or wrong, and the men walked out of the meeting, and they high-fived each other, thinking they were doing a great job, you know. And they went, "Yeah, slam dunk.
Let's go get a beer."
Yeah. And when the women said, "You know what? No, I don't think we quite got it. There's a couple of people there that we read in their facial expressions, because women read that more." And you know, lo and behold, they lost the deal. And when they went back to look at, you know, the why behind it, it was exactly those two people who hadn't quite bought in.
So right? How do we reconcile? We got both of these great capabilities. Both of these, you know, got men and women now, you know, fully represented in the marketplace at all levels. How do we put those two together successfully?
Well, here's the thing. If you just understand these differences, you don't have to be, you know, a scientist or anything, just to understand these differences. And then ask the question, you know, women ask what men's perspective are. Men stand in each other's shoes, right? If they had gotten in after this meeting, you know, this $50 million deal, and the men had said, what did you mean by that? What mm-hmm. did you see? Because we can mm-hmm. go back and check with these people before we, you know, we close it, right? And, you know, they might have won it. There would be a great chance that they would have won it, right?
But, Barbara, we can't resolve all this and reconcile all this if we deny that there are differences. And there are people out there who want to do that, aren't there?
There are. I see it changing a great deal these days, you know, especially in the last 5 to 7 years, where we've gone from, no, it's just personality styles, because there's so much neuroscience out there. And many books on it and research, that we have to get out of what I call denying the denial.
Well, and what happens, I think, though, Barbara, is some people think that by saying that women are different from men, that some people presume that means women are weaker than men, and that's not the case. It's
well,
just different.
Well, that's the challenge. Absolutely. That's the challenge when you talk about differences. You always think one is better than the other, and that's not what we're talking about at all.
The foundation of the reconciliation has got to be respect, doesn't it?
Yes, and notice and recognize the strengths and differences.
Yeah, exactly. Barbara Anise, ladies and gentlemen, Leadership in the Sexes is the book. It's absolutely excellent. Barbara, thanks for being here. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Barbara Anise, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.